Good morning to everybody here and everybody online and those listening in the future. I wanted to turn to John chapter 15, starting at verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. In the past, I've done some gardening. I've done some pruning. Mainly, you know, fruit trees, things like that. I know with a fruit tree, one of the reasons why you have to prune them is because sometimes the branches, you know, during a winter storm or just a regular storm during the summer, they'll break. They'll snap. Sometimes you'll have insects start boring holes in those branches. Sometimes you just get some sort of blight or, you know, scab type fungus starts growing on them. If those things aren't checked right when they first occur, that problem can spread all the way down the branch. It'll kill whole branch. So it's important that you catch these things and stop them before they become worse. The other thing that happens is if you have, you know, a broken branch or some insect holes off on the end, the tree continues to send food out to that branch for no purpose, really, because it's not being utilized. It's not being used. There's a break, a separation. In order for that branch to properly heal, needs to be pruned. Dead, diseased, insect-infested, fungus-rotted piece of that branch, and all that plant food coming up from the roots gets to that branch, and it goes where it needs to go. And then that branch can bring forth more leaves, more fruit, more life. Now, if you don't prune a branch, it'll be mediocre. But eventually, over time, that disease, that death, that corruption is going to take over the whole branch. And then you're left with nothing but to take off and cut that whole branch off. No branch in a fruit tree can be fully fruitful without pruning. Just like you. Each and every one of you in the Lord cannot be fully fruitful without pruning. Examine yourselves. Seek the Lord in these things. Find out where in your life there's some rot, there's some death, there's something that's pulling you farther away from God. Seek His help to have that pruned, to have that removed from your life, that you can then grow and become more fruitful in Him. If we're not seriously looking at these things, and that corruption continues what's going to end up happening is the Lord's going to have to cut that branch off. That branch is cut off, they're gathered up, and they're thrown into the fire.
I really thought he was going to carry on there. Then it just was like, Mike's out. Well, praise the Lord. You know, going on in what you were saying there, and, you know, that separation that can happen is just us just simply listening to the unbelief in that carnal man. I mean, if you look at the children, I mean, what was kind of going through my mind when you're saying that? Well, personally, there was a bunch going through my mind. However, on the front, but as far as scripture-wise, what came through my mind was the children of Israel. I mean, they had the you know, opportunity after opportunity after opportunity after opportunity after opportunity after opportunity, and I'm talking about the first generation here. You know, but finally there came to that point that they did not enter the promised land, and which Hebrews says in scripture is because of why? Their unbelief. You got Romans, and talks about how the branches being broken off, and why were they broken off, and talking about those natural branches, talking about the Jews there. And why were they broken off? What does he say in there? It says because of what? Unbelief. Unbelief. And see, there's that point, there's that process of where what we got in our daily lives is we can choose what we listen to. I mean, we can look at the Lord, and one, you can see just read the Gospels, just read the Word, just read the Scripture, story after story after story in the Old Testament. And I mean, just last night, we were just seeing the Lord's faithfulness. The Lord's faithful. The Lord's faithful. The Lord's faithful. The Lord's faithful. Okay? I mean, and that's the biggest thing. I mean, look, praise God. And we don't look. And that's where we look. That's where we put our trust in. That's where we cast it all on. Is His faithfulness. Okay, and I mean, and we're no different. We have that same opportunity, just like the children of Israel did. I mean, we're really in a no different place. I mean, are we going to believe God or are we not going to believe God? And I tell you, as we go through situations, as we go through situations in our lives or just internally or whatever the case may be, do we believe God? Okay, and the litmus test there is just going to be by your actions. I mean, because I can say I believe God. Look, I mean, I can say I believe that chair is going to hold me up. I believe that chair is going to hold me up. I believe that chair is going to hold me up. But until I really sit down on that chair, I'm not believing that that chair is going to hold me up. I mean, it's the same thing. Is it not? So when those situations arise, and whatever the case may be, your actions will show you if you believe the Lord or not. And quite frankly, that's a scary thing for me. I mean, if I honestly take a look at myself and the situations and then some things, the things that I do in those situations, it's like, you know what I mean? Just as Scotty was talking about. You got to nip that thing right away to save that branch. You got to nip that corruption right away. And, you know, as he's talking and I'm looking at myself, comparing myself to a branch with fungi on it. And what I do in a situation, it shows me, that's unbelief, man. That's the stuff I need to get shed off. And that's selfish, that's unbelief, and that's not love. That's not loving the Lord. It's kind of a scary thing to me. I don't know about you guys, but it's like, hello, McFly. Wake up. the battle going on. And it's easy. It's easy to get weary. It's easy to just give up. It's easy to just listen to that unbelief in that carnal mind. But the payoff sucks. I don't know if I should be using that word. But isn't it the truth? I mean, when you do listen to that lives and you do listen to those lies, and you do listen to that carnal mind instead of believing on Him who is faithful, the fruit of that is what? It's death. And what you do and what you realize or not when you do that, when you act in a place of unbelief and not trusting the Lord and not counting Him faithful, you know what you're doing? You're walking out from underneath His covering and you're saying, Satan, have free reign on my life. That's what you're doing. And see, that's the choice that we got. You know, and some people believe that, well, there's really only two places you're going to abide. That's going to be in the Lord and His kingdom, or in the world and Satan's kingdom. It's black and white. There's no gray area. A lot of people like to think, well, you know, I'm just kind of on the fence, you know, not really in this zone, you know, I'm not really in it. You're either on one side or the other. Really on one side or the other. Now, the Lord knows our temptations. He knows the frailty of our flesh. You know, He's been through it. And we can bring whatever situation, we can bring whatever struggle we have, we can bring whatever the case may be to Him. That's how good our loving God is. I mean, He has not left us straight. But it is really up to us to choose to believe and trust Him. You know, we have a great opportunity. Just in this place, in this ministry, we have all kinds of tools given to us to know the Lord and to walk in His ways. We have all kinds of gifts that gives us to believe on Him and walk in His ways. But the bottom line that comes to, are you going to choose to believe Him? Are you going to choose to love Him and serve Him and count Him faithful? I mean, He's faithful whether you're faithful or not. He's faithful to His word, to His promise. Are you going to be a part of that victory? Are you going to be a part of that destruction? And it's a great thing. I mean, what I mean is, look, we're given the Word every week. I mean, we got the Tuesday nights Bible study, Wednesday nights Bible studies. We got Sunday services where the Word of the Lord is being preached to us. And the freedom of the Lord and the gospel is being delivered to us. And the knowledge and the understanding is being unrevealed unto us. Right there before our eyes. So why? We can take that up and go do it. We can take that up and go do it. And walk victorious in the Lord. But those that are giving it to us can't make us do it. I mean, you hear Steve every Tuesday night. You hear Steve on every Sunday night. You hear Davey Tuesday night. You hear Davey Sunday night. And you know what? You guys can call them and call upon others around you to find out that which the Lord has for you to do. And from whatever struggle you have that right there at hand. The Lord's at hand. He's made Himself very available to you. But are we going to take that gift and actually use it? Are we going to take that talent and hide it in the dirt and bury it up? I mean, He's really set us up. He's put us in a great place to go walk in Him and to be a part of His plan and His body. But what are we going to do with it? Are we really actually going to do it? I mean, see, that's the personal choice. You know, in Philippians says to what? Work out your salvation with your own salvation with fear and trembling. I mean, no other minister can make that choice for you. That's a choice you make. The Lord can't make that choice for you. That's a choice you make. Now, He's given us the freedom to make that choice. And when we make that choice, does He not meet us? Amen. Time and time and time again. But see, our own carnal mind and our own stupidity, it's an interesting thing, man. We run up right to the situation. We've seen the Lord at hand. We've seen a move in our lives. We have that testimony right there before us. And yet we run into the situation. And it's weird, awkward, awkward thing. It's like all that is forgotten. I don't know. Have you been there? I mean, I know I have. I mean, we were even kind of going through just the Gospels last night, and you see where Jesus is like, I must go to the cross and rise again. Okay. All right, we hear you, Lord. See, all right, now, I'm going to go to the cross and die and rise again. Hey, Lord, we know. Okay. Well, what is it? Jesus goes to the cross. They go, it's over with. It's done. We're doomed. And then He's resurrected again. And what does He do? He goes and tells them, Mary, it's me. Lord. All right, go tell the other disciples. All right. I must go ascend to my Father and spill my blood up on the altar. So then you still got Thomas and you still got Peter. And you got Thomas, I'm not believing that. I'm not believing that till I stick my hand in his side and fingers in his hands. The Lord comes and He says, all right, Thomas, here I am. Here I am. I mean, do you see the faithfulness of the Lord there? Do you see how unfaithful we are? Did He utterly just cast them off? He was like, well, you know what? Mary, Thomas, you know, Peter, all those guys, they just didn't believe that what I said was going to happen was going to happen. So, I'm done with them. No, He goes and shows Himself, gives them the Holy Ghost, and says, go be my body. Go be my ambassador. And I'm equipping you with everything you need. And you look at that man, what opportunity they had. You know what opportunity we have. That's right now. That's still now, folks. That's still now. So are we going to take that and run with that? Am I going to take that? Am I going to run with that? That's the question I need to ask myself first and foremost. That's what you guys need to ask yourselves first and foremost. Because we have everything we need to do what He has us to do right there before us. And there's not a situation, there's not a temptation, there's not a sin that can keep you back from going forward in the Lord. The only one that will hold you back from going forward in the Lord is you. And that's it. And so if you're not going forward in the Lord and moving toward that mark, it's not the Lord's fault. It's not anybody around you's fault. It's not your bosses. It's not your fellow co-workers. It's not your brother and sister. It's not your spouse. It's you. And when we can become honest with ourselves and where we're at, just like Scott was saying, examine ourselves. You can get honest with yourself, and you can get honest with Him. You can get shed of the things that are keeping you back. You can get shed of that fungus that's eating you up. You can get shed of that unbelief that separates you from the love of Christ. Because that's what He wants you to have. He didn't call you to fail. To be successful. Successful in what? Successful in Him. And what He has to do. What does John say? 1 John, the Epistle of John, it says, He is what? If we confess our sins, He's what? Faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Because His word is true and He is faithful. And He doesn't go back on His promises. I mean, it's funny. I think it was like my grandfather one time telling my dad, he says, yeah, you know, even though I don't like you, you're still going to get a piece of the inheritance. Because that means I didn't raise you right. But however, that's my promise and that's what I'm going to do. And I say that from the perspective of if you repent, if you line yourself up with the Word of God, if you line yourself up with what it says and what the Lord says, you will move forward in Him. And it doesn't matter how much of a scumbag you are. Because that's not what it's about. It's all about His love, His faithfulness, and His gospel. So let's not squander that talent in the dirt anymore, but let's go forward in the gospel of Jesus Christ and the freedom that He has for us. Let's make that personal choice. And be a part of His plan and His life. Amen.
Good morning, everybody. You know, we have almost a tendency, I think sometimes, to give examples of truth of some of the things Jesus says about us. And that's a shame, because some of those things were not good things. Because, you know, the truth doesn't testify well against people who've been caught red-handed guilty. One of the things Jesus said was that a prophet is not without honor except in his own town. Familiarity kind of breeds content. You get all pleased with yourself. And kind of think of yourself all right. And you forget key elements of the faith, and unbelief sneaks up on you, and before you know it, you're not, talking about John 15, you're not abiding in Him anymore. And it's sneaky. I noticed that Davey put in the chat The flesh is always on Satan's side. Yes, it is. Yeah, it is. The best, there are several things you can do against when you're warned against unbelief. One of them is praying the Holy Ghost. The other one is getting to His Word. I like to go to Colossians. Colossians chapter 1, where Paul launches into this prayer he prays for the Colossians. And it just, you know, it talks about Jesus' preeminence. And I read that and I just get chills. Because it is. That Jesus that he's describing there and what he has done for us because it pleased the Father. Then I go back to John 14 and 15. 14:21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. And in 23, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. How good is that? This same Jesus. Then in Colossians 1:16, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. He doesn't need me. I can get him to come and make his abode with me. How good is that? I'm a dirt bag. But it pleased the Father that in him I should be reconciled to the Father. Who? Well, he, the image of the invisible God. Jesus. John 15:3, now ye are clean through the word I have spoken unto you. You got stuff hanging off of you that's separating you from the Lord? Get hold of his word and let his word clean you. Let his word strengthen your faith. Strengthen you against unbelief. There's no reason to be hung up there. You've got too many different ways you can war against it. You've got the Word. You've got prayer. You've got people. People of like faith. People of like mind. You can have fellowship with them. And fellowship with him. 15:7, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done for you. That's an if-then statement. A sweet one at that. What do you do to keep your words, keep His words abiding in you? Well, it helps to know it. It helps to read it. This Jesus, that it pleased the Father that all the fullness should dwell. Every single thing that is a characteristic of the Father is a characteristic of the risen Jesus Christ. The image of the invisible God. I don't know, to me that's just, that is a powerful testimony. A powerful testimony of His love and His commitment to us. And He took it to the cross where He died in my place. And He rose again from the dead, life eternal. Taking with Him the keys to death and hell. And He became victorious over every weapon and contrivance of the enemy for me and for you. Who didn't deserve it. Paul calls us ministry of Jesus Christ, the ministry of reconciliation between God and man. That is the plan. And that's a big, fancy sounding word. But it means you can have relationship again with somebody who, by all rights, shouldn't have anything to do with you. And that makes any day a good day. I'm done.